Shalom, everyone. According to the gift of grace that God has given us, we come together once more to share our praise by spoken word of faith. This is Brother Ryan Jasper once more as a witness of what God has inspired to be written. Of course, that all the glory belongs to the Lord. We can't go beyond what God has ordained that's been recorded in Scripture, but the word is composed in such a way as to reveal itself to the diligent seeker. So that's what we try to do in Jesus' name. Just find what's already there, waiting to be discovered, as we try with some revelation help from above to come to an understanding of the deeper mysteries. And of those deeper mysteries, without controversy, great is the mystery of how God was manifest in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, believed upon in the world, and received up into glory. And the debate over all those things still goes on. Has God made it so that it takes some real gospel effort to come to a good understanding of the spirit of truth that's alive in him? In the face of all that, we must come to a decision. The whole world eventually comes to its valley of decision in Joel chapter 3, verse 14. But we can come to our choices before all of that and be spared the trial of those days. It's a personal decision for each one of us and who it is that we serve. And as Joshua of old said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So under the title of As for Me, this would be part two. We take that subject for our devotional time this week. And before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the nations will be gathered into the place where God will plead with them for the sake of his own. God, who is, who was, and is to come, lives beyond the boundaries of time and exists at all points at the same time, having foreseen the inevitable result of all choices set before us. And that's an amazing thought. But the word assures us that this is so. As time is relative, and the Bible knows this, as revealed in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 4, in a Psalm of Moses, and in 2 Peter 3:8, as they agree together that a day with the Lord is as a thousand years, or as a watch in the night. Now that's a powerful witness of God's omnipresence and lordship over all of creation and over time itself. And it's always decision time in Christ to avail ourselves of his forever life, the life that started this all when God, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. That was his decision to give life to the thoughts of his infinite mind in order to be a father and bring forth spiritual children. And out of his love, which was as eternal as God himself, he brought us out of the darkness of non-existence and into the light of awareness of life. And our personal destinies are found in him. And the life that we live is a gift from God. So the determinations between good and evil, between right and wrong, those are set before us. Even as is the choice between the tree of life and the other source of thought in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In all of those ways that oppose one another, we come to the cross in order to identify with Christ. And we must choose which wisdom will follow, the one that's eternal or the one that's temporary, which will pass away. As a body of faith, I thank you all who have chosen Christ. We cannot be who we are without others to care about and to pray for and bear their burdens, which is the second of all righteous commandments, to love our spiritual neighbor, and in all cases do unto others as you would have done unto you. Along with the Hear, O Israel statute, to love God with all that you have, therein lies the whole duty of human creation. What side of the spiritual coin do you want to be on? As for me, I want to be on the side of that which is righteous and holy and true. And that, of course, is the idea behind these devotionals for the week. as I've preached in many sermons to my own congregation, as did my father before me, preached these thoughts, but the original thoughts are ever the Lord's. We're here to agree with him. And thank God for the remnant seed of faith that wants to be part of the bride elect. God honors faith that wants to be part of his plan, as with Jacob of old, who got the inheritance and the blessing by a means that most would not consider to be fair, as he traded with Esau for his family heritage. But Esau didn't care much about the birthright, as the scripture tells us, and Jacob got the inheritance because he wanted it more. He wanted to be part of God's plan more than his brother, and that got him, in time, a name change to Israel as one who has prevailed with God, not against God, but prevailed with God. And to get our names, our white stone names of Revelation 2:17, we have to want it more than the world does. If you turn with me to Psalms 55, we have some scriptures to read there, starting at verse 16. From our title phrase, "As for me," we're using that to highlight the personal aspect of our service to the Lord by identifying not only with the saints and believers of the Old Testament dispensation, but to be in harmony with the inspiration that prompted them to move forward in Jesus' name. As the Old Testament believers were inspired by the promise of the Messiah to come, and the New Testament saints were driven by the realization of the Emmanuel promise in Christ, that being accomplished. Both houses of belief moved by faith and accounted the promise of heaven to be far above the riches of this world, and their shared hope was above, as is our own, for we're not complete without their witness, nor are they complete without us, as we are also in the center of God's purpose of life, as they were. That established, we come to the principle of being changed, conformed not to this world, but transformed into the image of God's design that was there in the beginning when God said, "Let us create man in our own image," as he spoke to his companion wisdom that was daily his delight, of Proverbs 8:30, the wisdom that was by him as one brought up with him. So in Psalms 55, in David's prayer song, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old." Selah. "Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God." Literally, because the heart is not changed, there's no evidence of the honest, reverent fear of the Lord. After all, it was Jesus who said, "By their fruits you shall know them," and that's always true. And the word of God changes hearts. It convinces minds and it saves souls. The word's our supply, as it gives meaning and purpose to our very existence. And we have value in Christ. Now, the world of non-belief or of anti-faith, as I sometimes call it, because it takes a lot of anti-faith to believe that there is no God, nor any real purpose to life other than the few years we have in this mortal frame, they look at the stars above us and say, "Look how small and unimportant we are," when just the opposite is true. We are the object of all creation, and the universe is there to give us a place to be, and God created it so. And if the nuclear and gravitational forces were off by even just the slightest little bit, the galaxies would either fall back on one another or fly apart, and the result would be no life. But they're perfectly proportioned to support life as we know it, and that's a miracle. And somebody had to do those calculations. Someone had to hold the measuring line in his hands and that someone is God. Now, if the Lord was able to do the mathematics of creation, would not that same spirit of truth and wisdom form his witness of Scripture to support and sustain our spirits, the souls that reside within our mortal bodies? I say he would, and I'm glad you agree with me, as the Word of God is perfect because it teaches you the name of Jesus, and it puts your own name into the Lamb's Book of Life, which is exactly what God designed it to do. And that same Word changes you into a better vessel that is good to every purpose under heaven, as the great potter at the wheel breaks down the clay to reform and to reshape it into something better. And through our trials, we're being made into a better vessel, though it may not always feel that way. Certainly the man on the cross next to Jesus, who repented by asking to be remembered, he felt the change come over him, even as his life ebbed away, which we referred to in yesterday's devotional. Physically speaking, it didn't feel like he was being changed for the better, but he was. Spiritually, he was being changed for the better. And for some, it takes extreme trial to bring out what's buried deep within. But that man made a change at the last moment. And Jesus said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." So to put it in the way that David the psalmist puts it, as for me, am I willing to be changed? Am I willing to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when this corruptible flesh puts on the incorruptible and the mortal puts on immortality? It does come down to a willing heart. Even Job of old, who was attested to by the Holy One himself, that there was none like him upon the face of the earth, Job had to find repentance within his own spirit, in Job 42, verse 6, and change his outlook, even though he was the best person who had ever lived, apart from the Master himself. If that's so, then we all need to find a little humbleness of our own to lift us up. And in this psalm, David here, he had to humble himself, even if he was already the stuff of legend because of the slaying of the giant in his youth and being acclaimed of his people as being a mightier warrior than Saul. As the people cried out, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. But his faith was in the God of deliverance, even though he would transgress in certain matters, the numbering of Israel and the matter of Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. But still, he was a man of repentance that the Lord could make covenant with, and that shows us how great God's forgiveness is. And David says, "He shall hear my voice." This life is a fight to establish truth and justice in the land, but the fight of faith, it's a good fight. Without battles, there are no victories or crowns to be won, no names to be given. Without battles, there would be no soldiers who are made to endure hardness and persevere in Jesus' name. This fight is in the spirit of Joshua's "as for me" statement, that as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And when I will call upon the Lord, as David says in Psalm 69 from verse 13. "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily." The beauty of the language stands out in any tongue from the faith that's held within it. And the principle behind the saying shines brightly. My prayer is unto thee. These prayers rise up like the beautiful aroma of incense from off the altar, where they're kept in the large brimming bowls of God's memory, held in the storehouse from his memory, the golden vials of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. We've all uttered a lot of prayers along the way, some of which we ourselves may have forgotten them, but God forgets none of them. He keeps them in the vials, full of the pleasant odors that are kept in the presence of the Lamb that our prayers are. Thus does the psalmist, by prayer, make his way into the presence of God. Where else is there to go? From what other fountain can life be attained? But even in his outpouring of prayer, it's thy will be done. For David says, O Lord, and in an acceptable time, in the multitude of thy mercies, hear me. The requests are brief, just to be heard. Do not hide thy face. Deliver me. Don't let me sink. Draw near to redeem me. But they're given as a son would request of a father. And without the Lord, there would be none to deliver us from the hurtful sword. When we call upon him, he'll show us great and mighty things, things that we don't even know yet. But those answers come in an acceptable time, in God's timing, in every purpose under heaven. May we all find that common purpose in the name of Jesus. And God bless all those who have taken of the water of life freely. Those things that are in the Lord's counsel. Amen and amen.